There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live at the Elder Dragon Journal podcast. This is your this is your host Igor, and as always with me is my co-host Niksha. Say hello to the wonderful people, Niksha.
Buenos dias.
I was expecting you were going to finish it with something else in the Samuel L. Jackson style, but you know.
Next time.
What's up, Niksha? Had a good week?
It was deep. Played too modern, so that's fine.
You finished well enough, or?
In one, yes. In the second one, not so.
But these were kind of your testing tournaments, right?
Yeah, when we don't have the... I just make different decks to try them out.
You do the next show, basically.
Yeah. For the league, I'll be probably doing my Mono Green Tron again.
Yeah, well and tested.
Yeah, well and tested. It performed well on two turns. Okay.
Yeah, you know, it was alright. So...
Yeah, so, any Commander?
For me, we had that one game of Commander that we had while you were playing Conquest with that new guy. And that game of Conquest you had was hilarious, just saying.
Yep, just can't stand up to the might of the...
But that one game that I played Commander, I played Alesha. Andra was gonna combo out with his stupid elves, with Idris. So first I had to cast Domination, then I had to cast Armageddon, just to keep him off everything. And Marco was the first to balance properly, and he comboed off with Doomsday, and that's it. So not much to talk about.
Yeah,
there is another... That's what?
That's basically what happened when I played.
Yeah.
Andra just overextended a bit, and mm-hmm. then I cast... he had Tanglewire, so everything was, like, always tapped for us.
I love Tanglewire.
And then I just... Okay. I cast that...
What does it do? Blasphemous Act?
Blasphemous Act. I cast Blasphemous Act for one. Okay.
Well, are you trying to tell me that card costs more than one?
He looked at me, like, with so much rage for the rest of the game, until Marco just comboed off.
The thing is, that's his CDH deck, and it's capable of exploding real fast. And whenever a janky card kills him, that's hilarious. But yeah, not much Commander. I mean, I did something Commander-wise, but I'm still not at liberty to discuss it. So, you know what's the thing, but we'll talk about
yeah,
it.
I'm
hoping next week.
I know the thing, and I have been doing that much Commandering, but I did try out a new build of Tron. So, I'm just going to say that my Commander of the Week is Dread Defiler.
Now, for all the people who aren't as familiar with cards as I am, what the hell is a Dread Defiler?
Dread Defiler is that, you know, that awesome Eldrazi. It was a
rise. It was old.
That classic Oath of the Gatewatch Eldrazi that saw so much play. Dread Defiler is a 6 and a black for a creature Eldrazi with the Void. It's 6/8, and it has 3 and a colorless. Exile a creature card from your graveyard. Target opponent loses life equal to the exiled card's power. So, my idea for the deck was basically, I'm using Matari Shapers. I'm using Matari Shapers. What's it called? That Eldrazi under the stairs. Eternal Scourge.
Eternal Scourge, Eldrazi under the stairs.
He is under the
stairs. He is, but just the description is.
And Bearer of Silence. They're used as my early game drops that crew Smuggler's Copter. Smuggler Copter then can proceeds to, you know, loot and discards my high-end Eldrazi, or, you know, discard my high-end Eldrazi. Eternal Scourges get, you know, they try to kill them, but then they're exiled, then they're back. And, you know, just last out until the late game, when you play a Dread Defiler and start, you know, draining some life. Either that, or you can use Distended Mindbender, either for its emerge cost or its normal cost. And I found that Distended Mindbender isn't that good, actually. Most of the time, it exiles one card, and that's not that value. He's a sideboard option for against control decks, but definitely
yeah, of course.
not a definitely not a main board card. Bearer of Silence worked surprisingly well because nobody expects a Tron deck to make you sacrifice it.
Yeah, it's not a thing that Tron usually does.
But what I was like what I wanted to do the most was get my Eternal Scourge in the grave, exile it with Dread Defiler, cast the Scourge, use it, I don't know, block, get sacrificed or something, it dies, then you read the whole process. The deck performed well because for a fatal and against Merfolk, yeah, Golden Demise. But I never actually got to cast Dread. I mean, I did get to cast Dread Defiler once, and it got countered.
Why did it get countered, Nixa?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because an Emrakul was in the graveyard, and getting drained for 30, not very pleasant. Also, one of the reasons I wanted to go Black Eldrazi was because of Essence. Essence Depleter is another classic Eldrazi from Oath of the Gatewatch. It's a 2 and a black for a 2/3 Eldrazi drone with the Void, and you pay 1 and colorless to have target opponent lose 1 life and you gain 1 life. So
world's slowest clock.
Well, not really the slowest clock when you have a Tron assembled.
Yeah.
So that's a 4-point life swing per turn.
Not the thing that you expect from Tron.
Yeah, that was the whole thing I was trying to get to this deck. Especially, the copters worked surprisingly. The copters
copters.
Cool. They are
copters. It's copters.
Also, Bearer of Silence always costs 4 mana. You can't beat him out with a Eldrazi tank.
Yeah.
Perseta.
Womp womp.
He would be brutally... I mean, not really, not very fair.
Really strong.
But yeah, that was about it. I went, 3-1-1? And draw was an intentional draw against Infect, because I really didn't feel like playing against Infect. Even though I think...
Do you ever feel like playing against Infect?
No, but I think I actually stood a pretty good chance in black. The only problem
is... Yeah, you have a bunch of removal and a bunch of dudes.
The problem is I don't have the collective brutality.
Yeah, but that's just an uncommon. How much money can it cost? Oh, it's rare?
That's why it
costs
so much.
That, and it's not that big of a set, and it's not been opened that much.
I mean, I always wanted to get them, but from the start, they were like, expensive because they were, like, kind of hyped.
Yep. In terms of the hype was actually valid.
And the hype was actually valid. I mean, they're played in Black Green Tron.
They're played in Legacy and Modern. Basically, any deck that has Black has it.
And that was about it. No.
Yeah, it's been a week like that.
So, what do we have to discuss?
Just one thing, because we were lazy and the topic is kind of big. We have received the full M25 spoiler.
Yeah, we got all the spoilers. M25. And oh boy.
By we, I mean, you know, the whole Magic community, not us as a special privileged individuals, because no. So, we want to take it from Mythic Spoiler from top down?
Yeah, top down seems fair enough.
I mean, we have one card straight away that we haven't discussed last week, I think. And we have actually mentioned it like a couple of minutes ago, Doomsday.
With sweet art?
With sweet new art. I actually have it as my cell phone background. But this is the first printing it's gotten since 6th edition.
So it's going to be available in foil.
Yep. Finally available in foil. And more people will be exposed to the brokenness that is Doomsday.
It's not really worth that much, but...
The foils will be.
The foils will be. But, you know, they the foil be. Mythics, you don't really look forward to those when you're cracking packs. But yeah, you're probably not.
Yeah. I think you're being called.
I think being called, and this will take a second. So, where were we? Doomsday. Foil Doomsday.
Doomsday. I mean, the art is just wonderful, honestly. Plus, the card seems so innocent, doesn't it?
Yeah, but why did you put it? I mean, there's nothing really to combo with.
Yeah, I was hoping they were gonna put Laboratory Maniac.
Laboratory Maniac and, you know, Gush. Or
I mean, you have something similar to Gush.
You have something Gush-like.
Yeah.
No Lab Man.
I'm amazed by that. I was expecting them to, you know, if you ever are lucky enough to get both Lab Maniac and Doomsday in your deck.
Yeah, that's
Nixa, what does actually Doomsday do? We haven't read it. We know it, but maybe some of our listeners don't.
So it's a 3-black sorcery. So that's triple black. Now. So you search your library and graveyard for 5 cards and exile the rest. Put the chosen cards on top of your library in any order. You lose half your life rounded up.
Yeah, that actually sounds like, wow, you can actually shoot yourself in the face quite easily, and trust me, you can. But Most of the times when you cast, most of the times when you cast Doomsday, you just win, unless people have interaction. But you can also make piles for that. Our friend Marco actually is playing Cast Doomsday, as we mentioned, but he made a huge document with all the possible piles he can make for any situation.
Okay.
I was surprised that he did it, honestly. Yeah, but Doomsday, whenever you see somebody casting Doomsday, you should be really wary. Or even funnier, you should cast Evan Mind Sensor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Either that or flash in somehow Lunar Arbiter.
Or, you know, use Sudden Death, because there isn't a pile that's ready for Sudden Death.
Yeah, or Sudden Shock even is enough.
Sudden Shock, yeah.
You have things, you have ways to screw over Doomsday.
Well, there is one pile that's ready for...
Which?
Well, the pile where you have counterbalance on the battlefield.
Yeah.
But then again, but not even then.
You can't
be ready. There's
you can't be ready, but you know, you can hope.
So, yeah, Doomsday is quite a triple play.
Quite strong, and if somebody plays it, try to screw them over somehow. Because it's kind of, it's a really difficult card to cast. One of the most difficult ones to resolve properly. Because you need to think, especially on multiple, because you need to think how much things do you have in your hand, in your graveyard, how much mana do you have, how much do your opponents have, and what do they have in hands?
There's a lot in that game.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the most skill-intensive card in all the Magic. I mean, you have things like Gifts Ungiven and such, but they're less complex than this one.
Yeah, I've seen Doomsday cast, and then because it gets really tiresome.
Ooh, I've done it so many times to myself, until I, you know, got into habit and got a couple of better cards. But, you know, when I was first playing Doomsday against Tess, I would cast Doomsday, and she would be like, so did you kill yourself? Because I often did. Either I was off by one mana, or I would pile the piles badly and things like that.
You know, all this talk about Doomsday, think about me.
Your Doomsday would be interesting because you would do something crazy with it.
I would do something stupid. I would probably kill myself more often, but, you know, I'll find a way. I'll find something else.
If you want to play it on easy mode, just play Grenzo Doomsday.
Oh, of course. Of course.
That one is kind of easy to do. Of course, if somebody has Glacial Chasm or something like that, you're kind of screwed.
But yeah, so the Doomsday was the day after we recorded, right?
Yep. Also, the card that we discussed with Vince when he was on the podcast, we didn't discuss that one. Master of the Wild Hunt.
Yes, Master of the Wild Hunt. I'm so glad they printed this.
Wasn't it like stupidly expensive?
Silly expensive.
For some reason.
Silly expensive because it's a really popular cube card.
Yeah.
It's and very that limited was, supply.
And that was like M12, something like that, right?
Yeah, it says also the war term.
Oh, yeah. I was doing this by the memory.
No, it's M10.
Huh. Yeah, that was, what, 7-8 years ago?
Something.
So yeah, of course, the supply is more than limited.
And it's a mythic. That was original.
Yeah, I mean, for that card, I'm okay being a mythic for draft.
Yeah, I mean, because this is one of those cards that you play it, then your opponent has one turn to get rid of it.
Yeah, and if they don't... It's similar to Tendershoot Dryad.
Pretty much almost game over, because this card is better than Tendershoot Dryad, because you make wolves kill things.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just saying it's in similar space and limited. If this resolves and stays for more than a turn, you're kind of screwed.
That's why I want to get it.
Haha. Speaking of things that need to die as soon as possible, we have a Chroma Angel of Wrath. Yeah, but I'm still a bit more afraid of the white one. Even though unlimited, you can much more easily cheat the red one.
The red one?
Yeah, but you. What I'm talking about is you morph the red Achroma, and then you cast something like. What's it called? I just had it in my head.
Any
blink effect. It's Cloud Shift. And then what happens is Achroma comes back, but she was morphed, but she comes face up.
That is
so congrats,
that
you just spent 4 mana to get a 6/6. Almost everything ability thingy.
Yeah, you get a lot of relevant things like protection from white, so no bouncing, no swords to plow sharing, which is by the way in the set.
Yep, and it can pump itself, but for limited wise, these are two great reprints. Just for value, if you're looking for that, it's kind of eh.
Yeah, if you want the foil ones, there's always the Vault Angels foils.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we will have the water. They'll look nicer, but yeah. I don't know.
But this is Therese Nielsen art, so that's wonderful.
Although I was thinking that for such a nostalgic set, they would go back on older arts. Mm-hmm. But I guess most of them are under copyright like that.
Yes, and they don't want to give royalty to the artists. Next up, we have Dylan Click, right?
Yeah, the one with the selfies.
That's from Modern Masters, right?
Yes.
And this is a really high-end card for Vintage, Legacy, Modern. Commander, not so much, but it's still a really good card.
Oh, it's a legit 1v1 commander.
Mm-hmm. And it's complicated because you can cast it on your opponent, you can cast it on yourself. When do you cast it and things like that?
Yeah, you cast it on yourself when you know your opponent good. Because he's good. So yeah, basically, it's a super versatile card. And it's super aggressive. A 3-1 flying for really good.
And it's super expensive.
It is super expensive. And I don't think this will, you know, bump the cost that too much.
It's going to actually create higher demand for the card.
I hope that Obliterator won't cause higher the card.
I doubt it will.
Because...
But this, yeah?
Because I would like to play Phyrexian Raider in Relentless Red's modern deck, because Graymer...
I mean, after this print, I think you will actually be able to, because... Phyrexian Obliterator was bought off by investors, because they were like, maybe people would play this in Modern, because it's such a good card, and you know, why wouldn't you play this in Modern? Well, about that. Yeah, nobody plays it anywhere, but they have bought all the copies, so it's artificially expensive.
Well, I hope that's right.
Yeah. And speaking of really chased and high-end cards, we have two Redemption.
Oh, yeah. Thankfully, finally this card gets reprinted. Now I can get my playset for...
A dollar. Or two.
For... I don't know. I just want...
Three Redemption, if you don't remember, is three and a green for a 0/13 plant defender. Tap, exchange a life total with three Redemptions toughness.
I mean,
yeah.
Why though?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's from Innistrad. And we had so much more iconic things from Innistrad that you could have gotten.
Yeah, so much. They even could have just, you know, is there also printing cards from Commander sets and from the Conspiracy sets?
Yep.
They could have easily just put something, another slot Innistrad, and put like Selvala, the mono green Selvala. This mythic slot, because that mono green Selvala is...
Mm-hmm. They could have printed so much better cards. And it didn't even have to be, you know, this card from Innistrad. It could have been something like Gravedigger's Cage.
You don't really think about Gravedigger's Cage. When you think about Innistrad, you think about flavor.
Oh, and especially I think about Three Redemption, right? I definitely do not. I definitely do not. I'm sure you, sir. So what's next on the docket, Nixon?
There's also
Armageddon. We talked about Geddon, I think, last time. Yeah, we did. Okay. We did. The Vengeance, I think. Akroma's Vengeance is next. Most of you know it. 4 and a white-white sorcery, destroy all artifact creatures and enchantments, and you can also cycle it. Nice, simple. Bident of Tassa is nothing interesting because it's been printed into Oblivion. Hell's Caretaker, on the other hand, is a really good one. Nixia, read what it does.
So, Hell's Caretaker, oh man, this card is nostalgia. Mm-hmm. So, Hell's Caretaker, 3 and a black. For a 1/1 creature horror, you tap and sacrifice a creature, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Activate this ability only during your upkeep. So,
this is a card I'm not sad that I reprinted.
Yeah, it's not valuable or anything, but first print was in Legend.
Mm-hmm.
But it also saw some print in some core sets. A couple of core sets.
8? I think
it was...
7 or 8.
I think it was a couple of...
It was white-bordered for sure.
It was. It was definitely. So it was in Legend. It was in in some Chronicles. In Chronicles. And mm-hmm. It was in 9th. It was in 9th. So it's... It's not... Is that not...
The 9th is, yes.
Yeah.
That's why Blood Moon is legal, because it was in 8th. And with 8th, Modern begins.
Oh, okay. And it's a really fun commander.
Mm-hmm. Especially playing something like Mera and Jarad or things like that.
So, yeah, we got that.
Ball Lightning.
I've got some Ball Lightning action.
Ball Lightning is awesome, especially if you play something like Saskia.
But what's really cool for me is Darien.
Oh yeah. First time in modern art, right? In frame, modern frame.
Yes. And with a watermark and with create text mm-hmm. in it. And the original art.
And he's still not making humans.
He's just making...
Which is bullcrap if you ask me, but alright.
No, he just, you know, he's everything.
But he had, like, mostly humans and a couple of giants in his army, if I remember correctly.
Well, there you go. There's still soldiers, right?
I don't think giants are 1/1s.
They're 1/1s when their soldiers know how to wield tiny swords.
Why would you give them tiny swords? Just give them like a rock or something.
Because it's standard deal. Nobody gets an exception.
Then you just smack people with your bare hands. That's it.
Enlisted, can't they?
Well, let's carry on. Lakota's champion is next. That's interesting. He comes from the good old days when we had two separate triggers when he comes into play and leaves the game. So for Black, it's a 6/3 Nightmare Horror. When he enters the battlefield, target player loses 6 life. When he leaves the battlefield, target player that player gains 6 life. And for Black, regenerate him. He's not that much of a, you know, commander or cube or something. I mean, for cube, I guess. A reprint, he's more of a actually limited card.
Yeah, he can end the 6 life and is quite a lot.
And he cannot be bolted. I mean, he can, but you can regenerate him.
So, he can all be Wrath.
Mm-hmm. Blood Moon, we talked about, I think.
Plus on Zenith, that's fine.
Corsair Crucifix is next.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice nudge to modern players, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't really that expensive, but it was kind of limited.
Yeah.
And this is nice. Stocks and the foils.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of gajillion dollars, Idol of the Great Revel.
I think you skipped a card, Nixia. Flash?
I mean, we're getting to that. I mean,
why am I... first of all, they're final printing Flash since 6th edition, if I remember correctly.
So no foils.
And what's even more interesting, you can actually play Flash Hulk in Limited.
Because Hulk is...
I'm not sure what do you combo with. I don't think you can combo, you just get value.
Pretty much. I mean, you obviously fetch all of your reads that you
drive. I mean, you can flash in a reform, and that's perfectly fine.
It is.
You just get a 3/3 for 2 mana.
There's quite a bit of thing to flash in. I mean, you can flash in Laquatus' champion.
Mm-hmm, if need be.
If it can just...
Yeah, sure. There's a bunch of things you can do. Just limited.
I mean, actually...
depending on the life total, of course.
Because it enters the battlefield... But it
does absolutely nothing.
He gives 6 life and then takes 6 life.
You can get things like, I don't know, Obliterator and something for 2 mana. Which is... I'm talking if you Hulk it.
Oh, yeah. You can Hulk it.
Yeah, you can do that. But yeah, finally, Flash with some trippy art.
Nice watermark, of course.
Yes.
Wow.
So you can... If you're hungry for modern border cards, you can be obnoxious with Flash Hulk in EDH.
Who thought that one of the selling points of this set is the water?
But look at how wonderful they are.
And how, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A living Death is here as well.
Again, not an expensive one, but...
With fancy art.
Fancy art, fancy frame, two foils, and, you know, mm-hmm. Commander staple.
Yeah, but what you said, Idol of the Great Rebel is back.
Finally.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a good card, I hear.
Pretty decent in 1v1 commander, but yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of no.
I remember when this card was first printed in Terrace. Burn players weren't sure should they actually put this in their deck or not. Because, yeah, it damages my opponent, but don't I just kill myself faster? But the test of time has shown no, you actually play this card.
It turns out that you can kill your people faster.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been fetching quite a high price recently.
Yeah, especially recent Burn will probably be more popular with the mm-hmm. Rise of
Jace. I think that Rise of Jace has become Rise of Bloodbraid, but, you know.
Yeah, let's wait. Bloodbraid is rising in popularity.
Yes.
You know what's going to fix that?
Hmm?
We have to unban the Deathrite Shaman and then ban Bloodbraid. That'll fix everything.
I can't remember, what did I send you a couple days ago? What has hosed the Bloodbraid Elf in that one game?
Sent you something. Fairy.
Oh yeah, that. So people are playing that in Modern Super League. I don't know. No, it is in a Magic Online Championship. So a guy casts Bloodbraid Elf. His opponent responds with a fairy. I was like, wow.
Okay.
Next leveling.
Okay, get the fairy like time spiral.
Yep. You were talking about the Rise of the Bloodbraid Elf, right?
Yeah, but you know what? I think it's time for a Rise of the Elvish Piper.
Oh my god, with that wonderful, wonderful art.
And I was just thinking about a deck with Elvish Piper. I mean, obviously, some with haste protection. Mm-hmm.
Either that, or you put 1000-year Elixir.
Or that, but 1000-year isn't that good, because with the haste Shroud, Lightning Greaves, with Lightning mm-hmm. Greaves, you can also give haste, you know, brings in.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just saying to give you more options. if you don't drop into boot or something.
So yeah, I completely forgot about Elvish Piper, but yeah, thanks, Mr. Set, for reminding me, you know, shoot myself in the foot while trying to get modern.
Next up is Luminarch Ascension. Popular card in both casual and I think is being played anywhere else. I don't think it is.
No, Commander.
It's being played in competitive EDH as one of the finishers for Blood Pod. Because turns out when your opponents can't cast spells, they can't actually attack you.
You know what stops people from casting spells as well?
I have a good idea, but tell me what.
Pact of...
That was also creeping up in price a lot.
That's rare. Help it stabilize.
And I freaking love this art.
I mean, there's a lot of like, just like, random fun casual cards in the rare slots. Like Plague with Fortune.
Yeah.
We got a Living Wish. That's cool, actually.
Living Wish is cool.
The problem is that it's specially worth.
Yeah. I was hoping this is gonna be something like Burning Wish, but you know.
Okay, Rest in Peace is finally here.
Ooh, Rest in Peace is a great one. For any format where it's legal at.
Modern, so it was quite
expensive. Yep. We mentioned Reform.
And then we got the Ratcatcher.
Isn't everybody stoked for the Ratcatcher?
Discarded.
I mean, I'm actually more offended that Bident of Tassa is back than, let's say, Ratcatcher. Because Ratcatcher is a much, much older card. And it has been printed... He's done one printing, right?
Yeah, in Ravnica.
Meanwhile, Bident of Tassa had, like, 6, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, Bident of Tassa actually did something in some format.
I mean,
while Ratcatcher did the actual nothing. Ever.
It does something in Commander, I guess.
I don't think so.
I mean, if you're playing Marinor and decks like that. Plus, it does one good thing. It gets you your Pack Rat.
I mean, it gets you your Pack Rat, it gets you Relentless.
There you go. What more do you need?
I mean, you remember when they did the Arachnus Spider and Arachnus Web?
Mm-hmm.
They actually downgraded the Arachnus Spider to Uncommon, just because, you know, wasn't that good. Limited. And I don't think Ratcatcher is that good as well.
Oh, it's not. Even though you can actually, in this limited, have Relentless Rats at Common.
Yeah, that's actually because Pauper Rats.
Yeah, but now we need to think about this card is 6 mana, so... If it takes you to get to 6 mana to start your Relentless Rat strategy, you might be doing it wrong.
You haven't drafted it.
Yeah. Next card is an exciting one, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's chemistry is quite cool.
It's been printed only once in the Mizzix precon deck, and it's a wacky card.
Reprint such, you know, supplemental products.
Plus, you can get the foil of this.
Forgot about
it. Speaking of cool cards in foil, Talia. Yes. The first Talia, and it's gonna drop in price a little bit.
I think it'll drop a bit more because I think the thing that was the fact that it was a small set. And
Only thing I know is I got the best version of Talia. From you, actually.
Yeah. This one should... I think it should drop the price. I'm going to say...
Yeah. And it's a cool card.
That happens with a card and never...
Yeah. And we're not counting WPN promo as a reprint. But next card is the one that gets me really, really happy.
Yeah, because...
Vizuvan Shapeshifter for 3 for 3 blue-blue. 0/0 Shapeshifter, when it comes into play, always turn face up. You may clone a creature. But it gets a copy of, it becomes a copy of that creature, and gets at the beginning of your upkeep, you may turn this creature face down, and morph is 1 and a blue. Now, why is that significant, Nixon?
Because you have this nice little card called Brine Elemental Set, at Uncommon. Mm-hmm. It's 4 blue-blue for a 5/4 elemental, with morph that costs 5 and blue-blue. And when Brine Elemental is turned face up, each opponent gives her next untap step. And what happens you get to, you know, you shapeshift and shapeshifter. It triggers the morph ability, the turn face up ability, so your opponents skip their untap step. You turn face back, face down again, turn face up again, you know, the cycle goes on.
And this sounds janky as hell, but that was actually a deck called Pickled in Standard in 2006/7, right?
Yes, I remember playing that deck.
Sounds like my type of deck, to be honest.
So yeah, if you any chance you get to make people miserable in, it's fun.
I mean, it mostly brings nostalgia to me from the good old days of Future Sight and Spiral, the whole shebang. And speaking of making people miserable, we have the next card that combos with a mythic.
It doesn't combo with a mythic. It
what? Triska Decaphobia? Kind of. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, I forgot.
It's the wrong tree.
Yeah, yeah.
They printed the wrong tree.
Yeah, I wish they printed actually Death 3.
The black version of
it. Damn it. And here I was getting all hype.
Well, whatever. Magus of the Wheel, very nice.
That's really good, and that was actually kind of solid. It was like $10+ for Magus of the Wheel.
Yep, only the supplemental product, so yeah, the price is gonna tank.
Fun fact, that was actually one of the cards I sent on Cardsphere's Secret Santa. Because it was red, and then I sent, I think Magus of the Library was the other thing I sent. Because, you know, something red, something green, because it's Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Summoner's Pact, on the other hand, quite a nice.
For all of you modern players out there.
And those have been all the rares.
Mm-hmm. And now we come to the actual meat of the set, where you can find actually some really interesting cards.
Like Blue and Red Elemental Blast, which we talked about.
Ancient Craving, which is downgraded from a rare, right?
Downgraded from a rare, yeah. Now this, like, accessible as hell. And
I mean, it already was. It already was accessible as hell, but not in foil.
Well, now it will be foil, and that would be nice. That is nice. So, yeah, Ancient Craving is good for Commander, so get some.
Yeah, it's alright. Browbeat is here again. The famous trap card. Not trap as a type, trap as, you know, it's never as good as you want it to be.
And I'm planning on playing with it just to see for myself why it's really not that good. I mean, I guess Blood Breathing good.
Blood Breathing into most things is good if you build your deck correctly.
Ancient Stirrings, now that's a...
That's a reprint for people like you.
Yeah, I got my Stirrings, but I could always...
You could earn in foil.
In foil.
If you can get it, because it's going to be astronomical, I'm going to guess.
Well, I mean, I remember foil Vapor Snags to be actually expensive.
Oh, yeah.
But when they were reprinted in the Master set, they tanked like hell.
Yeah, possible. Kind of just want to mention that Lingron is Congregate, because it's one of the best multiplayer cards out there, just to make people miserable. Because you get 2 life for each creature on the battlefield, not you, what you control on the battlefield.
You can also target a player.
Yeah, you would do that because, I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing, but I'm just, why would you do that? There's something miserable you can do to people.
Well, you know, Death Shadow players are, I guess.
Well, if you have someone that's playing Death Shadow in Commander, I'm actually impressed. I mean, I retract that. Mind me, pleasant players do that quite often.
There you go.
But they don't use it, they use it more to, you know, give your creature +13/+13 and that's it. Life doesn't matter at all.
Except for that, Fierce Empath.
I would actually mention Fiend Hunter and Curse Catcher. Curse Catcher you mentioned already, right?
Fiend Hunter and Fierce Empath, both available in foil.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're already available in foil, but Fiend Hunter was so expensive for foil. And now it might actually drop in price, and I might actually get it from Alesha. Because it's a really nice combo piece. And removal, if you can sacrifice it.
Fierce Empath is a pretty good card.
Mm-hmm.
And what's even better, you can tutor Fierce Empath with both
Oh, yeah!
There you go.
And you can revive it with Alesha if you're playing Bloodfold or something, I guess.
There, and you have a recurrable...
Ooh! Next thing that's nice is Fallen Angel, I guess? No, Fallen Angel is nice. Fallen Angel is nice.
Sure, but there's...
She's iconic, that's the thing.
Yeah, she is iconic, actually. But there's also Phyrexian Ghoul that is kind of better. Phyrexian Ghoul is a 2 and a black for a 2/2 zombie. It says sacrifice a creature and it gains +2.
Yeah, but this one has flying, so that's a... Plus, it's from Legends, make sure. Give it some credit. Goblin War Drums is nice. It has been printed in a millennia, almost. And for all of you Infect players, we have Invigorate.
Yeah, Invigorate because that's is a fair card.
I'm totally getting that for Alesha. Not for Alesha, for Saskia, I mean, for this.
Oh, of course, because you give them 3 life, but you take away 8.
Or you just, you know, put Infect on.
Wow, nice. Yeah, sure. You.
No, I will not, but she will. Another downgrade from rare to uncommon is Kongming, the Sleeping Dragon. For 2 white, 2/2 human advisor. Legendary, of course, and it gives your creatures +1/+1. Nice and simple.
Other
creatures. Nice and simple.
Yeah, there's a lot of uncommon legends this set.
Card after that is actually one of the rarer occurrences of upgrading a card, not downgrading in rarity.
Oh,
Exclude is common from, that's what, Invasion, right? And it's actually heavily played, if I remember correctly, in Pauper. But since this is a limited set, and there's a bunch of creatures running around, they decided to bump this up to uncommon.
Another card
happy to see?
No, not happy to see. I'm just got reminded of Iwamori of the Open Fist.
Oh, no, no, you skipped one, actually. You skipped one big one.
I don't care.
Okay, first talk about Iwamori, then I'll talk about the other guy.
So Iwamori of the Full Open Fist is a 2 double green legendary human monk, the 5/5 with trample. So when it enters the battle, each opponent put a legendary creature card from her hand on the battle, which is, so in every set Iwamori was in, whether it was a master set like this one or its base set, there were a lot of legends walking around, a lot. So it was a real, an actual real downside. Then I started thinking about Modern and what legendary creatures are out there that you're actually scared of.
So we have mentioned what? Emrakul, Kozilek, Grizzlebrand.
Obviously against Tron you don't play Iwamori. Obviously.
Either that or you ballsy as fuck, and I respect that.
Then next up, the Borborygmos deck. Has Grizzlebrand and Borborygmos.
Both Thalias?
Thalias aren't a problem because...
Yeah, of course. we're currently thinking about what's being played in...
Delver has...
Jace?
Yeah, it has Tiny Jace. And it has...
Tassigur. We also have Baral for Storm. Anything else that we're missing? Goblins aren't that much of a deck. Elves can play Azuri.
Yeah, so... It doesn't really hit that much stuff, so it might be like in a mono green stompy, like a 4 mana 5/5 with trample is, if you ask me.
I mean, you can try it out to play. I have already messaged Vince to see if he's willing to do it. But he might not. I think it's better to message, you know, somebody like Saffron Olive, who does these janky things all the time, but you know.
Oh. If you're expecting them play to actually have legends, you can combo it with something that, you know, steals things when they enter play, but something like that. But if you have 8 mana available, you can get out Iwamori, they put in like an Emrakul, and then wapow, Sour of Temptation, yoink, my Emrakul.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Wait, this sounds so stupid, but if Sour of Temptations weren't that expensive, I'd actually do this.
This sounds like a really fun cube deck you just made. but the card... Are you done with Iwamori, by the way?
So what card did...
Yes, then you're done. Eastern Shade. For 3, black, it's a 5/5 legendary Shade Knight. It's creature type got updated, I think. And it has protection from white. And why is this such a big deal? First of all, it's from Homelands, and it's a semi-playable card. Second of all, when Eastern Shade was being played, things like Path to Exile and not Path to Exile, Source of Plushes and Exile were being played a lot.
Yeah,
so you could play this. White Knights wouldn't stop you. It wasn't boltable.
Wasn't passable.
And the original art is so bloody beautiful. Do you remember it? Just Google it. As soon as you see it, you'll be like, "Oh yeah."
Oh yeah, I remember that art. Guy. Oh, it's that guy.
It's one of the most iconic arts. It basically, you see a knight in black armor with a lot of darkness around, some fire behind him, and just red eyes. And that's it.
And there's just a bunch of flavor
text. Yeah, flavor text is basically... What does the flavor text say? Eastern the Weak, Eastern the Fallen, Eastern the Betrayer. He has brought shame to the Seraph Paladin where none existed before. May his suffering equal his betrayal. That's the original. Flavor text, but the redone flavor text is, no mortal could atone for Easton's betrayal. Redemption required him to become something else. And he's cool, he's not that effective, but by God is he good. Not by today's standards, but you know, just nostalgia-wise. Oh yeah, and one more removal that is being played in those days was Terror.
Oh, and Terror didn't target Black Creature, of course.
It still doesn't. Plus, Dark Rituals were being played.
Yeah, so you can actually power up the Shade.
Yeah, quite early. Next card that's interesting to talk about is, Core Firewalker, right? For Modern.
For Modern, yeah.
It's pricey
for an uncommon, so nice.
And I always like seeing Core, because I have some strange fascinations with the Core tribe.
That's a thing for another topic. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Next interesting card is, I think, Mesmeric Fiend, right? Because it's, what's the name of that black-white zombie from Alara?
I know the one.
But basically, this is the same thing it does, comes into play, look at their hand, and exile no one card, exile that card, and when it leaves the battlefield, return the exiled card to its owner's hand. But it's two separate triggers.
And all, as well as the black one one.
Mm-hmm.
Black white one.
Which we cannot currently remember, even though I used to play it in Alesha, but you know.
So it's a cool card. Foils. Foils.
And the
nice.
And the art is fucked up as hell.
Just like the
original. It is the original. It's some warp infested nightmare, I think. So what's the next card you want to talk about?
Oh, Bolt.
What? You don't want to talk about something like Chupacabra or Nyxfliss Ram?
Nyxfliss Ram was fine in the Assault Formation decks, but not much else. I mean, in some control decks, it's Diagro.
And sometimes you play it against the Burn matchup. But guess what? They can't really kill it that easily. And just slowly gains your life.
Well, depends if they're playing... Depends on their main, really.
Of course, if they're playing something like the Destructive Revelry, the Ram isn't gonna be long for the world.
Or, you know, they just attack with their Goblin, you block it, and then sudden Ring Blaze.
Yeah, something like that.
So, Bolt is really cool, because iconic, and memorable, and everything.
And Bolt is the perfect representation of red. And the best thing about this version of the card is the flavor text.
Yeah, this is one of those... for all other cards like Bolt, like Brainstorm and Pyroclasm, they decided to just put the text in the center and remove the flavor text. But for Lightning Bolt, they decided to put the flavor text because the flavor text was iconic because
of M10.
M10, when they reprinted the standard and modern, just a card they never thought they would make this.
Last time Bolt was printed was way, way back, like 6th or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And nobody was thinking that Bolt would ever be, you know, printed in recent sets. And then they finally printed it, and the flavor text was following. The Spark Mage shrieked, calling onto the rage of the storms of his youth. To his surprise, the sky responded with a fierce energy he never thought he'd see again. Basically, all the old Burn players were like, oh my god!
Let's hope they do it again.
I just love this flavor text because not, you know, old players.
Chupacabra, hey.
I mean, they need to put something from Ixalan, and this is one of the better cards from the set. Plus, it's really good for Limited.
Yeah, it's a first pick Limited card.
In Ixalan. In this Limited, I wouldn't bet, actually.
It's among... It's highly top tier.
Of course, it depends on what you open, of course, in first pack.
I mean, if you
pack.
Get a Bolt and you haven't defined a color, then you're obviously going red.
Yeah. If you open something stupid, like, I don't know, what's actually good here? Jace, yeah?
I mean, you pick the Jace because of the monetary reason, but realistically, Chupacabra is a better pick than Jace.
Yeah. I mean, if you open something, let's randomly pick, I don't know, Living Wish, let's say, is your first rare in the pack, and you also have Chupacabra. Pick Chupacabra.
His Wish doesn't actually...
You can go to your sideboard, can't you?
You can, but sideboard X.
But yeah, Bolt is, Chupacabra is really, really good. Next up, we have what, Jalita, also downgraded, which is actually good because you can pick him up more in Limited and you can actually do some really stupid things.
Oh, that's why we have all these big stuff, just Polymorph.
Yeah, something like Ghost and Colossus or Tusker.
Street Wraith is a very...
yup. You also have the Pyroclasm, I guess.
I guess. It has a minimal amount of text, so that's nice.
And don't disregard the effect that Pyroclasm has. It just kills all the stupid Demonadogs and things. And next, as we mentioned, the card that you mostly never hard cast.
Oh, Cross on Tusker.
Yeah, just think of it as, you know, a ramp spell.
Not really a ramp spell, because it puts
you know
it
what
into
I mean.
Your hand. Yeah.
I don't know. It's sometimes better as than a ramp spell, because you get the land and you also draw a card.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yep. It's a last pitch effort when you have to actually hard cast this card, because it's 6/5 and nothing else.
It's good in the card, or
thing I like about this version, of course, I don't know if it had this before, but it has reminder text, do this before you draw.
Oh, it doesn't have this.
Which
the
is good because it explains something to the newer players. next is an interesting one, right, Nyxia?
From left or
Promise of Bunrei.
I saw Saffron play with Promise. It piqued my interest a bit.
I remember that being played way back when in Standard.
I mean, it's a 3 mana for 4 dude.
It was being played in Gold's Dead, right? You had Promise of Bunrei, you also had the Ghost Council for Zoe.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the deck.
But wasn't Promise of Bunrei from Kamigawa?
Yes. Kamigawa and Ravnica. Yeah, Kamigawa and Ravnica. It was a really fun deck. Because you were attritioning your opponent just like Orders of Doom.
And Promise was rare, wasn't it?
Think so, yes.
So yeah, uncommon.
I've always wanted to have Promise of Bunrei.
Well, no.
Not to play with it, just to have it.
Well, maybe because the art in foil.
Because the art is wonderful. You see in samurai performing Sudoku, and some spirits coming out of him. Yes, oh, I know it's seppuku people. People, I know it's seppuku, but it's a meme. You're lucky I didn't go with the phrase I go usually. It's not Sudoku. It starts with a B. To people who know their stuff.
Rancor? Cool.
Rancor's nice. That's also one of the cards you can actually first pick without any problem.
It's that powerful.
Any creature you have becomes like three times as better when it has Rancor on. Because guess what? Your stupid Sapperling is now 3-1.
And all the Sapperlings after it are 3-1s, yeah. Because it keeps coming back.
The silly card we're going to discuss soon, that 0-1, has now become a 2-1. That flies and tramples.
Search the Flouchers for the time rip. Good.
Good. Good.
So people get these.
Get more Search the Flouchers.
Get them foiled, because they're not going to be that expensive.
Oh my god, I need to get it. Even though this isn't the old frame, but you know, it's
I got
a foil.
One. I got one from the Master set. Yeah, it's iconic. And it looks quite nice.
I need to get it because this is Therese Nielsen wonderful art, and it's gonna be foil. So, and it has the watermark. Oh my god! And Nixia, could you first read what it does, but then read the flavor text?
But so first read the card. So it's Will of the Wisp is a 1 black for a 0/1 creature spirit with flying, and for a black you generate it. On dark nights, you can still see the light of the Vess girl's lantern out in the Caligo, king her lost brother. Those who follow are...
Basically, what this says is that Liliana and her, you know, trying to get her brother back and making him a zombie, has become a legend in Dominaria, and people still talk about her, but they don't know what happened to her. They just think of her as a spirit. Oh. But let me tell you one thing about Will-O-Wisp. You know what it did back in the day?
It blocked everything.
It blocked Sarah Angels and Sengir Vampires and Shivan Dragons like a motherfucker.
Because of that rich.
Yeah, just like... Oh, that's good, you have this awesome card. No. This one mana 0/1 is gonna be the end of you. Plus the art is quite nice.
And it's downgraded
from
a rare.
No, this isn't the old art. Is it? When you say old art, I have the old art in my head.
No, I was thinking from the core set art.
No. Nice Rob Alexander art.
Speaking of nice reprints, Spirit Guide. Now I can turn one. Now I can kill a land turn one without playing a land.
Yes.
Because, you know, crack the earth.
Mm-hmm. And that's really good.
Sure, that's good. Plus, let's call it good.
Plus, I guess if you want to play other decks, I guess it's kind of nice in some other decks.
Ah.
Sheesh. Okay. Regrowth, that's an effect. An effect that was so strong that it was restricted in Vintage for a long time.
Now available for everyone.
In foil, with MTG art.
Speaking of available for all, Utopia Sprawl Arbor Elf, both in the set.
Holy moly, we just went through cards. By the way, Zadahedron Grinder is also uncommon, just to get that out of the way. Also, Will Bender, the thing that stops Split Second.
Yes, it actually does stop Split Second.
Nixia, why does that stop Split Second?
Because paying a morph cost is a player action, and it doesn't the stack.
For historical context, why that is a thing? Shock was in the standard at the time, and they didn't want, you know, people flipping their morphs, and in response to you flipping a morph, I shock it. So they were like, okay, let's make this special action, but that made it really fun when your opponent goes to combo off with something stupid, with Split Second and things like that, and just like, no. Anywho, Utopia Sprawl.
Utopia Sprawl and Arbor.
The combo.
The combo that's Ponzas, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Utopia Sprawl, that was getting quite high.
Because of the set, Ponzas.
That, and because it was in, you know, Ravnica, a really old mm-hmm. set, so limited supply.
My God, it's so difficult to me to envision Ravnica as an old set, honestly.
Right?
It's still like, yeah, but it's not that long. Oh my god, yeah. As you mentioned, Kamigawa and Ravnica were together in a format, in standard.
Oh man. And I imagine Kamigawa is a really old set.
Yep. Speaking of old cards, accumulated knowledge. A thing that you can also sometimes play still in Vintage. You have decks that sometimes play accumulated knowledge, but good fun fact about accumulated knowledge, if you play one and then your opponent plays one, both count for, you know, the effect
yeah.
in graveyards. Which can get silly sometimes if you're playing a mirror match. Well, I'll draw 4. Well, I'll draw 6. Screw you. And whatever. What's the next card? Oh, Arcane Denial, right?
Sure.
With new art. With the new art. And it's a really efficient counter spell.
Yeah. Well, you both get almost the same exchange.
And if you stopped something that was game-winning for them, good.
You don't really care about...
Speaking of stupid things, Dark Ritual. As it should be.
This card
has done so many... Yeah. I was going to say, Dark Ritual has done so many stupid things through the years.
Yeah, it really deserves to be here because it's played everywhere at all times where possible.
And fun thing about Dark Ritual, was being in Standard, so many things got banned because Dark Ritual was a thing, but they never banned Dark Ritual until one point. Gee, why are all these people playing Necropotence? I guess we'll ban some random card. We have actually discussed that in that episode we went through the ban list. When Copter was banned, right? Everything got banned instead of Dark Ritual. It never did anything wrong.
I remember turn 1 of the Spectre.
Oh yeah. Spoopy boys were really spoopy.
Nothing.
For a while. Brainstorm, a Diabolic Edict.
Oh yeah, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them separate text.
Yep. Elish Aberration with new art. With really cool new art. Even though the previous art handled Mutant much better.
Yeah.
This is just, a really buff dude. He has the gym and all that. He does lift. Disenchant with... This art used to be the full art version. The Magic Player Award, whatever it was. And it's a disenchant, it's a really good effect. You should play it. Dirge of the Dead has... Only thing that it has going for it is the really cool new art. By cool art, I mean there is a naked guy holding his ears while a choir of skeletons are singing. But it's a silly art, but I actually miss this kind of art. These days you have the uniform art, so you can know what set it is and all that just from a glance. But before we had so much different art. It was cool.
Yeah, all the other things.
Mm-hmm. That's why you got things like Stasis.
Oh yeah, Stasis. Oh my god, that art.
The Stasis art isn't good. You can't say that that's good art, but it's really memorable.
The high school, the cooler art.
Yeah, it's one of the things you remember from early on. Things like, let's say, a random example, Crimson Mage. It's generic, but Stasis, good god, what the hell?
Or the first Triskelion.
Yeah. Even something less memorable like Goblin Balloon Brigade, it's also memorable art because it's silly and unique. Next up, Cultivate, always needed. Counterspell with the scented art with the Jace exploding, right? Colossal Dreadnought, because we should put this in every set ever.
The third set in a row that it's printed.
Yep. An interesting card, Ur-Graders. I still remember playing this from Micropose's Shandalar game. One and a black, human warriors for 2/3. At the beginning of your end step, if Ur-Graders didn't attack this turn, it deals 2 damage to you, unless it came in, under your control this turn. You get a really efficient attacker, but you really need to be attacking with it.
All the time.
We have another rarity downshift, right? Hordling Outburst. It used to be an uncommon.
So we have Fancy Mace, Hordling Outburst, and Court Hussar. All downgraded to common.
Court Hussar was so good. Jackal Pup is a thing. Also, Curiosity is a thing. For all you new Visit players.
Oh, and the Gush-like is the Phantom Seer.
Yeah. We have Murder at common, which is nice. Giant Growth, which is also nice. A Loyal Sentry used to be a rare.
Oh, I remember. We played so Loyal Sentry and Soldier.
With the old Fart Art.
Yeah.
But the new art is cool.
It is. It's a lot more menacing.
But it's less cool than the old man just being like, yeah, you're the last guy I'm gonna fight on this earth. And we're both gonna go down.
It was always cool to put something like, regenerate your old fart, or you give
or Dark Steel Plate. Oh my god. And then you have Dark Steel Plate on him, and then you make Valor Made Real.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna block all of you young whippersnappers and gonna survive.
Let me show how it's done. And this is like super death touch, because you don't get to trample, you don't get the first strike, you don't get your counters on your fancy G-Tays or something like that. No, you just die.
And this is way back from Portal. Oh my god.
Oh wow.
Next card is also the card that got you scratching, because why this card and not the other?
The Ghost Ship.
Yeah.
What other?
You were like, why isn't what was the pirate ship, or which one was the skeleton ship? Yeah, what wasn't the skeleton ship? Well,
no, skeleton ship isn't here because it's on the reserved list.
I know, but let's just abolish that stupid thing. But free, the art for this one is wonderful.
It is, and now I can, not really, but you can use two ships, screw a bigger ship.
Yeah, you can also put this. You can also put this in your pirates and not feel guilty about it.
So it takes two ghost ships to pilot a galleon.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
Mock Flunkies is a just good limited card. Nothing more to say about it. The card I wanted to talk about, Cabo Climber. It's a 3 green green 3/3 Cabo that comes in the play Rosy card. Nothing special about that one, but that was one of the first cards I ever played with when I started playing Magic. So it has a lot of sentimental value to me.
You know what? Nostalgia.
Hmm?
Horseshoe Crab.
Oh my god, so many stupid combos happened because of that card.
I remember when I first played Magic that somebody...
I remember it from 10th edition.
Yes, I remember. They put the enchantment from Ravnica, 3 mana, that gives the enchanted creature that to tap to deal 1 damage. And they just put it on Horseshoe Crab, and I was looking at like, how is this balanced? How do I stop this? How do God, I win against this? Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Man. And now we can actually combo it with a card in the set called Quicksilver Dagger. And that's actually very legit.
Quicksilver Dagger was always good and limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually never saw that card before.
Apocalypse, I think. Apocalypse was really multicolor heavy, and that was a really all-star in draft. It kills the smaller dudes, drowsy cards, just good card.
Relentless Rats, hooray. Nettle Sentinels, hooray.
Nettle Sentinels were much needed. Also, Manowar is nice.
Pacifism, finally. I mean...
I just wanted to say about Manowar, it used to be thought as a really, really, really strong card in that time. Because it was 3 mana, 2/2, with no downside, with really strong effect. These days it's not that good, but in Days of Visions, oh my god.
Remember when Pacifist was the standard white removal?
Yeah, I do.
Now, you know, you need things that, the same thing, but cost.
Fun thing about that, it costs 3 mana, right? I can't remember what's the name of the effect, but it's still really super strong in limited. Oh, I've saw people draft Ixalan. That 3 mana thing is one of the first things people pick up.
Oh, no, it's not. It's 4. I think it's the 4 mana.
Huh.
Because it gives 2 life as well.
Yeah. I mean, there is also rest effects, but they do something completely different, so...
Blah, 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 yada, 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 some bears...
Return Phalanx is cool. Nothing special, but it's cool. Presence of Gaunt, so you can make stupid combos.
Yeah, with, like, Retraction. I mean, it's it doesn't combo with itself, but Retraction Helix does give.
That was Jessica Ascendancy, right?
Yes. Savannah Lions.
Oh my god. So, kids, a little history lesson. Savannah Lions used to be taught as an OP card. It was a 1 mana 2/1. And that's all it did, and it was a rare. And we were happy with it.
It was a rare because it was in white, and white wasn't that aggressive.
Mm-hmm. It came straight from Alpha. No, even in Alpha it was considered, oh my god, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I mean, you could turn 1, crack your Black Lotus, 3 Savannah Lions. And what do you do then?
Smash people for 6.
I mean, what does your opponent just concede, right? Or what?
Channel Fireballs?
Oh, there you go.
What is next on the line?
Well, now we go to the multicolor, because the rest is... Totally lost, of course, because they had to include Boomful.
Actually, one thing I wanted to mention before, Unearth, with new art. And our good friend Phyrexian Negator is on the art.
Oh.
Yeah. Plus, Unearth is one of the cards you play with Doomsday, just to get us back on the beginning of the show. Now we go to multicolor.
And oh boy, do we have a treat here.
Ooh, many treats.
Finally an Animar. Finally an Animar, yes, to get that price down.
And foil.
And foil, finally.
Yeah. Next up is Gisela.
Very nice.
It's always nice. Prosh, so you can get him foil, finally.
Brian Stoutarm.
I'm so hyped because of him.
Complex.
Complex is nice. That's actually nice. Even though you could have gotten it from the Vault lore in foil,
yeah,
quite easily.
Yeah, I forgot about that. so it's whatever. Eladamri's Call.
That's super strong. And it's super good, and it hasn't been printed in Eternity. Mm-hmm.
Grenzo. The Dungeon Lord.
Again, speaking about Doomsday. Hana is nice, Mystic Snake is nice, but Nicol Bolas with the From the World Dragons art. It's actually really nice.
Niv-Mizzet is a home run.
Mm-hmm. Because it has the old flip text.
Yeah. And because, you know, finally foils that aren't... I mean, they might still might be.
Yeah, because, you know. Notion Thief is one of the cards I really adore.
And in the end, we got both Pernade and...
Pernicious.
Pernicious.
Two really highly sought cards from Apocalypse, and I just love the set. And, oh my god, love these two cards. And I might finally be getting actually Vindicate, or Pernicious Leader, or both. Our good bro Rurik Tar is still rare. Suck it, Uncommon Legendaries. Rurik Tar is just that good.
Boros Charm.
Yeah, Boros. Also Blighting, since we're playing with Blood Devils again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and this time it's Uncommon, because this would complete a Nightmare Common.
Yeah, yep. Cloud Blazer is a nice addition, just, you know, nice. Pillar of the Sleepless is the card that I'm playing a lot against and was really, really annoyed with it when I was playing casually.
I was terrified of that card. I mean, I was terrified of Pillory and the ghost, and those ghosts.
I know what you
mean. Source of the Faultless.
Source of the Faultless.
These were both terrifying cards, and people were playing them. They were good. Powerful.
What is next that you want to talk about? Quicksilver Dagger we mentioned, but it's to say what it does. One blue and red enchanted creature. Enchanted creature has tap. This creature deals 1 damage to target player. You draw 1 card. So I was mistaken about killing weenies, but still. Your worst dude was currently drawing the cards and slowly killing opponent.
That is a horseshoe crab. You just pay 1 blue card.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to say Shadow Mage Infiltrator with the bad art because it's not John Finkel. It needs to be John Finkel.
We got Stank.
Talk to us about Stang, Niksha.
Stang is a 4 in red, a legendary Greenman Warrior. When he enters the battlefield, create a legendary 3/4 red and Greenman Warrior creature token, Stang. Exile that token when Stang leaves the battlefield, and you sacrifice Stang when the token leaves the battlefield.
So headcanon we figured out was that Stang has an internal feud with Panharmonicon.
Unless they're positioned in the gallery of...
Yes.
Yeah. This is not the guy you want to play in here. Enter the battlefield doubling.
Yeah, but this guy comes all the way from Legend, and this is one of Legends, and this is one of the actually more playable ones.
Yeah, because you actually get these stats for its cost, unlike the rest of the Legend.
Yeah, even though you still had some home runs like Angus McKenzie.
Watchwolf.
But it doesn't have the good art.
That's Watchwolf.
Kawaii. A Watchwolf is always good, and I think we already said this story, but it was supposed to be a centaur. Originally. It was supposed to be a centaur. But the centaur art they got was really derpy. And they were like, what the hell is this? Nobody's gonna believe this is a scary 3/3. And this was supposed to be one of the cards you were supposed to see a lot of the art of. So they were like, okay, let's scrap this. But we have this really cool wolf art, the original one. And that's how it became a Watch Wolf. And that's why in Return to Ravnica you have that sorcery for 2 and for white and a green creates a 3/3 centaur. It's actually a throwback to that one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, now we know.
Just power.
Hide it well. Artifacts.
Artifacts. Quite a few doozies here.
Mm-hmm.
Chalice of the Void at Mythic, Snaring Bridge at Mythic, both quite badly.
Mm-hmm.
But they're boring. You know, they're modern standard cards. What's really cool is the Coalition Relic Reaper.
Mm-hmm. Finally.
With new art that's probably gonna look gorgeous in foil.
Mm-hmm. I still prefer the older art because it's not this hyper-realistic art, but this is still wonderful. Plus, Commander players everywhere have been wanting this card being reprinted for a long, long time.
Yeah, this card got expensive.
Mm-hmm. And cube.
Astronic Reason.
Which is for Alesha, I guess. Even though I have the... I don't know, I don't have this one. I have the gauntlets that the copy activated abilities.
Oh, I found why they put in Horseshoe Crab.
Oh, because
heavy
of this?
For the heavy arbalest.
Oh my god, that's a really good combo, actually.
Okay.
That's stupidly good. What's next? Primal Clay is nice because it comes all the way from Antiquities. Even though it has the silly new art, not the epic old art. One card for you is being printed here, isn't it?
Yeah, Sai of the Shinobi.
Yeah, but this one time with Watermark.
Wait. Wasn't Sai of the Shinobi from Kamigawa?
No. Planches.
It was from Planches? I've been living in a lie. I thought it was reprinted in Planches.
No. It was Planches exclusively.
Oh, so finally a foil version. Now.
Yes, so you can actually get that in foil.
Nice.
Why
wasn't they coded?
They could have done it, but they didn't make it. They didn't remember it. Huh. And maybe it would be too strong with things like, you know, Zavajita running around and all that.
Yeah. Well, you see, you can equip this at your ninjing.
I think that is the point of the card, yes.
We have
a nice two-card combo, self-assembler and assembly worker.
Oh.
For the factories.
Okay.
And Misha's the factory to combo it all out.
Nice.
Swift foot boots, because you always need more boots. Nile spam bomb, spell bomb card you always need to have in your black decks.
Treasure keeper, because blood break is good.
Yeah. Mikokoro is finally reprinted.
Again, price went up because of no supply.
Pendlehaven, which is a nice card, but screw Pendlehaven because the Rishadan port is here.
Oh.
I need to have that in my life.
So this was apparently the only card that was preventing death and taxes, like budget friendly.
Yeah, because there was none to be found. Even on NTGO, ports are expensive as fuck.
So now we have a Rishadan port with nice judge art, and a nice watermark, and of course, foil version.
I need to get this one for Alesha.
I don't think this... I mean, the card will drop a bit in value, but I don't think it'll be that...
Yeah, I know. I'm having fantasies because the place where you use this is once you destroy everybody's land or something like that. You pick a color that your opponent you scare the most is liking the most. Like, if they're playing, let's call it a teamer deck. You just keep on tapping their green source, if that's the only green source they have. Basically, time walking them. For 2 mana, it's worth it, actually. Did we discuss about the filter lands?
No, we got the Eventide cycle of filter lands.
And they were getting really expensive.
The Shadow Moor, not so much. I don't know why. Yeah. Is it because it was a bigger...
Possibly. But I'm definitely getting the Orzo and the Boros one.
Yeah, the help price. Also Ash Baron.
Which jumped in price so stupidly much. What the hell?
It was popper.
Yeah, I know, but still, what the hell, dude?
So,
Mirrored Landscape?
So, just to say, after Rishadan Port, is number 246 out of 249.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 3 land spots available after that. And I was like, so what lands come after R and were extremely played in the whole history of Magic and are very iconic to the game?
I actually said a couple of things and you were like, shut up.
some lands beginning and ending with Zaz.
I think that correct answer was Zoetic Cavern. But no Urza lands, which I'm actually sad because I was hoping they would give him new art, new border, and all that.
And foils.
That would be really cool. But no.
But do you know why they didn't put them here?
Because it's a really bad draft strategy. Ah, okay.
I mean, Doomsday is a really bad draft strategy. Put that in.
Yeah, but that's like, let's just print this and see what happens.
No. Because the Mineria, there.
I'm not sure that's gonna happen.
I honestly don't see a reason why not, because standard became a lot quicker than...
There is just one reason I can give you, Niksha, and that's lore-wise. Because Urza had his factory mine and what is the last one? Tower, right?
Yeah.
That was how many thousands of years ago?
I don't see why it works.
Because they've been buried because of the Ice Age. And then I think that ice and cold weather were really bad for factories.
No, dude. The ice just helped preserve the mechanism.
Yes, because that's what happens when you interact, you know, coldness, wetness, and metal.
Didn't you watch Winter Soldier? I mean, not Winter Soldier, thank God. Civil War.
I did.
Well, there was a Russian base hidden in snow. It was really fine.
But it wasn't kept there for millennia.
I don't care.
Alright, then they're gonna print Urza lands, okay.
You really wouldn't do that much to the format, because it's fast enough to kill for playing Urza lands, and there aren't any...
Yeah, unless you luck-stack like a mofo, like a proper Tron player, and just, you know, have it turn 3.
And, you know, Karn is probably going to cost 8 mana.
Yeah. Oh no, turn 4 Karn. Turn 4 Karn. And now they make it that it costs 6. And then that's blowing your mind.
Suddenly 3 Karn.
So, anything else we need to talk about?
Well, the set as a whole, really nice for us who want to buy the set. It's really nice. But with all these and all these price drops that I'm expecting, I don't see a set that's worth like actually buying for boxes. Not drafting.
Yeah.
It has so much. I'm just a bit disappointed that Wizards didn't go all in. I mean, remember the last remember the last Masters set?
Mm-hmm.
The one with Liliana and...
Not Iconic, but Modern?
Yeah, the last Modern Masters.
Yeah.
That Modern Masters was absurd. I mean, even the Mythic slots and the Rare slots. It was just value all over. And I was hoping they would go something here, but they kind of held back.
Yeah. But it's still a good set. Honestly, I wouldn't mind drafting this, but it's going to be expensive as hell. But still, I'm kind of intrigued. Because a lot of these spells are from, you know, when I was a wee lad and just started playing.
Yeah, it probably really feel good to draft this, but it would be just
to
draft.
To play Pickle's Lock again. Oh my god. Honestly, that's the only thing I want to do in this format. That and Blood Moon people.
Or vindicate their lands.
Yes. Diksha, now you're talking my language.
Vindicate their lands and port the rest.
Yeah, I want to do that in every format, and you know it.
I know.
Oh, yeah. But this has been M25. It's been a nice set, but I think that's all we need to talk about for this episode.
Yeah, hopefully we're going to have a bit more, let's say, diverse and more interesting things episode next time.
I mean, there's one thing that we'll be able to talk about next week freely, I think.
Okay. Well, let's not, like...
Let's tease them to hell.
Oh, or tease them all the way.
But, yeah, I think...
We'll tease them by saying, we have something special in the making.
I mean, we have actually a couple of things that are going to be in the making, starting from next week.
Yeah, we'll try to actually go through.
Yeah, I mean, we have kind of set a date for next week, when we're going to make those things, so...
Okay.
But, yeah, you can find all and any of our information in the show notes, from YouTube, Twitter, yada, yada, yada. And, Nick, anything else you have to add?
Well, reaching our milestone.
Mm-hmm. 14th of March is our 2-year anniversary.
Hey, Pi Day.
It is Pi Day, and we haven't planned anything special yet, but we still might. Yes, Tess recommends that we prepare pies, and then we eat them. Two pies.
Then people can listen to us eat. I'm sure that people will love little other.
I would kill myself. I hate the sound when people make when they eat with open mouth. Oh my god.
I know. So instead of that, we can just we can do what Rudy did once. When it was spoiler season or something, he just filmed 25 minutes of himself eating tacos, and he put like 6 commercials there, and that was just his statement. He's just gonna put in 25 minutes of him. He's gonna monetize the hell out of it. He just doesn't care. There.
But yeah, but we're not Rudy, so we don't have that reach. But this has been, right? I'm going to go with yes. This has been episode 65 of the Elder Dragon Dorable podcast. This has been Igor.
And this was Nick Shah.
And as always, the Emperor protects.
Yes.